Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson and I'm joined by Mr. Luke Miller.
Hello everyone, I'm back again as well.
It's episode 24.
No Rick Edwards this week.
Gosh.
What a pleasure it was to have him.
You were very, I'm going to say sexually aggressive on the Luke and Pete Show Twitter page towards how sexy Rick Edwards is. He is sexy, I just don't think sexy tall men need reminding.
Said a short, unsexy man.
I am...
The opposite
charming
to Rick Edwards, I agree.
I am charming in my own way.
I completely agree with that. I didn't use any of the words that would associate, you'd necessarily associate with sexual aggression. I just said he's an attractive man. Let's get on Google Images. Let's make the most of that when we're promoting the show. Because we can't promote the show with our ugly mug.
You shouldn't have made that weird kind of scrapbook.
I know, that
was a bit much.
In retrospect, that was a bit beyond the pale, but you know, you live and learn. You live and learn.
Did we ever find out what kind of batteries Rick Edwards was rolling with?
No, I did show him the LG Bexels.
Oh yeah, the LG seem kind of quite wedded to the Bexel, the Bexel boys.
Absolutely, and I think from now on, because we've developed a bit of a community here on this show, and we're very grateful for it, of course, when people email in, and we're going to get to a few emails in a bit, as per, and they should write their name, their city, and the battery brand they find in whatever remote control is closest to hand. So, for example, Luke Moore, London, Bexel.
Yeah. Peter, London, Raymax.
There we go. Exactly. I think it works nicely.
And sometimes Maplin's Own.
Yeah, Maplin's Own brand. Well, you are a very, very frequent visitor to Maplin.
It's overpriced. I don't particularly like the shop. I think the staff are too aggressive when it comes to asking me if I know what I want. I know what I want, mate. I'm an expert.
Have you got a loyalty card?
No, I don't.
Is there a loyalty card there?
There probably is. Actually, no, to be honest, because people go in there all the time. It's the only high street kind of electronics retailer.
You imagine the sort of guy in charge of Maplin saying at this point, don't need a loyalty card when you're the best in town, mate. Well, you're the only game in town.
They are the only game in town.
To go back to your Bexel point about...
overpriced drones.
LG, yeah. Mm. Well, quite.
And CCTV.
I've got a... less said about that, the better. I've got an LG TV at home. Popped it open. Bexels. We've got an LG TV in the studio. Popped it open. Bexel. So I think there must be a deal going on.
An LG Bexel loyalty bonus. Aaron Inglethorpe on Twitter hooked us up with a proper naughty battery website. Some choice brands on there. Huge.
Huge, yeah.
King Norm.
Excellent.
Tiger Head.
Yeah.
And actually, that's one of the few batteries with an actual logo that they've actually thought out instead of just a really badly Photoshopped font.
Tom Goodhue got in touch on Twitter and included a picture of a lovely pair of Super Vinnies.
That is what people call Vincent. Hope that people call them.
Yeah,
my
name's Vincent, but everyone calls me Super Vinny.
Hey, yeah, Luke, do you want to know what's been floating my boat this week?
Give me a jingle for an It's Been, because I've got a great It's Been this week, but you can go first.
All right, then. It's Been!
Very nice.
Very nice.
Nice to hear it.
The Art of the Sailor. You know, like sailor tattoos, Luke?
Yeah. I'm from Portsmouth, Peter, yes.
Not the man with the bell. He's got lots of weird tattoos.
I saw him the other day.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was he in an away match? Or?
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the ramble this week. Okay. Tune on to that.
Fair dues. You know, like when you see like sailors with tattoos and anchors and stuff like that? Apparently, it's like all part of a big cord.
Right. So the swallows, the spider webs on the elbow, they involved?
Yeah, all of that stuff. Right. I'm not sure about the spider webs on the elbows, but certainly like...
swallows on the hand and the shoulder?
So swallows on the, what would you call it, the sternum? I don't know.
I think it's sort of the shoulder blade, sort of the chest area.
Chest area. Yeah, one swallow tattooed for every 5,000 nautical miles they travelled. So there is like an actual code behind it.
Like a Russian gangster type thing.
And if you've got like a ship on your between your nip-nips, a full-rigged ship that's rigged up all nice, apparently it means that you've been around Cape Horn.
Ah, oh, wow, okay.
So all of these
aren't, like, these aren't compulsory, presumably.
No, and there's a lot of, it turns out there are a lot of people who've done 10,000 miles in Shoreditch, turns out.
Right. But, when I said shoulder blade, that's obviously at the back. I meant this, the clavicle sort of area. Is that where the swallows
are? You are very pigeon chest. You may as well have two shoulder blades.
A bit rich.
Not really. I'm not pigeon chest in the slightest. I got right titties.
So have I.
I got big old tit-tit. Because I always get confused because... pigeon chest, I thought was like a concave chest, isn't it?
Well, I get confused between concave and convex, so you're asking the wrong man there.
obtuse angles.
Yeah.
If you have got an anchor on you, a single anchor means that a sailor has crossed the Atlantic or was a merchant mariner.
Or that you run a craft beer place in Hackney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. These are all like prime Hackney tattoos.
Yeah.
Hula girls, these are US sailors who have been to Hawaii.
Okay.
I'm having that.
So all of them then.
A nautical star, so a sailor could always find their way home. That's not actually useful.
No.
Because it's on your body. That could be anywhere.
Do you know why it works, Pete?
Yeah.
Home is where the heart is.
Home is where the heart is.
So who told you about this stuff?
A website.
Okay.
Sorry, no. An old man in a sailor's tavern that I frequent.
I often think of you on your own at night Googling sailor's tattoos.
Tattooed men.
Yeah. So that sounds about right.
What have you done this week, Luke?
Well, I've done what I always do, and this is the bane of my life. I've built it up, haven't I? And before the jingle, I said I've got a great one. Well, it's not necessarily a great one, but what happened to me a week or so ago? Did I tell you this? I don't think I did because it was on a Wednesday, and I don't normally see you on a Wednesday.
Right.
Wednesday morning of last week.
You call that your holiday day?
Yeah, exactly. I get time off. I locked myself out of the house. Right. And that's, I know that's not a sort of particularly...
That's very brand me, to be honest.
I know.
Locking people in, locking people myself out.
But it's not particularly of note on itself. Of itself. I understand people will lock themselves out of their houses all the time. But to give you a little bit of information about why it was sort of, I guess, comedy and quite tragic. I live on the first floor of a house, which is, you know, it's a maisonette. So the ground floor and the first floor are separate. So I live on the first floor.
Mm. My name is Luca.
Yeah. And there's no back access to the house. So I have got a back garden, but you can't get to it apart from through the house. You can't get to any of the gardens apart from through the house. So I knew that the only way I was going to get into the house, because my wife's at work, was to get in through the back bedroom window.
Right, okay.
But obviously I can't get to the back of the house because it's a massive 40 house long terrace.
Yeah.
So I knocked up my next door neighbour, Julie, very nice. I said, Julie, I've been an idiot. I've locked myself out of the house. Can you please let me through your house so I can jump over three gardens to get to my back garden to try and get into my bedroom window, which, by the way, is on the first floor.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, that's fine, you idiot, come in. She ushered me through the house, put me in the back garden of her house and said, right, I'm off to work now. Best of luck.
So that's basically I'm not sure whether you've improved your situation here.
No, exactly.
Because you've been locked in the back of the house that you can't get back out of anyway.
So now it's a zero-sum game. Now it is shit or bust. I either get into my house or I'm stuck in the garden.
Right.
Right. So anyway, I jump over two fences to get to... So I'm now in my back garden.
I'm thinking Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. It's a bit like, you know, in Breaking Bad with all those scenes with Walter White when he had to get back to his own house without being seen and do stuff and then go again. It's a bit like that. So anyway, I get to the back of the house, and in my back garden is a stepladder, but it's not very big. Mm. And the way the gardens are set out is that I have to then, because the gardens are separated long ways, I then have to put my stepladder in the garden of the house below to get to my bedroom.
Okay.
So I put the stepladder up. It's nowhere near tall enough, and the ground is so uneven that it just wobbles every time I go up it. So I go, God, right, I can't get in. What am I going to do? To cut a long story short, I'm pottering around trying to work something out. Two gardens down the other way, I see a massive window cleaner's ladder on Derek's shed. Mm. Derek's the guy who lives a couple doors down.
Why do you know all of your neighbours?
Because we've got a community. Anyway.
We've got a community.
But everyone's at work, Pete. Everyone's at work. So I think, right, I'm going to go and get that ladder.
Yeah.
I jump over two more fences the other way. By this time, I am covered in crap, right? and I've got a bruise on my knee because I banged it as I cut all over the wall. I try and grab this window cleaner's ladder, and it is unbelievably heavy.
Yeah,
I was like to the point where I was thinking, I know I'm not that strong, but I don't know how anyone uses this ladder. So I can't really even move it.
Is it is it longer than the width of one garden? So you could just lay it over and kind of Spider-Man over entire garden.
I didn't think of that, but it was. It was massive.
Yeah.
And anyway, I then realised the reason it was so heavy is because it's full of water, which of course made it completely uneven. So I managed to...
How did it get... What, is it like a cavity in the side?
Just
of
little
the
holes in it that just filled up with rain.
Just filled up with rain, right, okay.
So anyway, I grabbed that ladder... get it down. It's full of water, so every time I move one way, all the water gushes to the other end, and I can't control it. So I'm just banging the shit out of everything. Anyway, cut a long story short. Again, I get into my downstairs neighbour garden, put the ladder up alongside the bedroom window. But the ground is even, uneven, as I said to you before.
Mm.
So I can't get up the ladder because it's too wobbly.
Yeah.
So I have to move the ladder to about 2-3 or 4 feet to the side of my window. To get an even bit of ground,
right.
To get up the ladder.
Okay.
Right? So I get up the ladder. I can just about reach and pull my sash window open. It's really easy to pull open, and it's open. So great. I open it right up. Then I have to jump across and shivvy my way into the house, right? Mm. So I do that. Get so happy that I've done that. By the way, at this point, I should probably remind you that I had my backpack with me and a massive kid's Magna Doodle. Because I was bringing that in to give to John for his
son. Something to do, isn't it?
So I had to carry this with me everywhere I went, right? So anyway, I got into the house. Oh, yeah, brilliant, done it. Excellent, done all that. Get all my stuff together, change my jeans because they're dirty. Get all my keys, get my phone, everything. Leave the house, think, oh shit, I've left the bedroom window open and I've left the ladder there.
Yeah.
So I had to go back again, take the ladder all the way back over again, put it on the outhouse, the shed outside Derek's house, a couple of doors down.
Well, how did you get back in after that? Have you got a... Oh, I guess you've got a...
Back door.
You've got a door, back, the
back
docking.
Door.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyway, so yeah, that's what I've been up to over the last week. And it was absolutely tragic. My wife thought it was hilarious. Yeah, it was embarrassing.
I mean, I would say that your wife is way more equipped... physically to do what you did there.
She'd been brilliant.
In that she's small and live.
She used to be a gymnast as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you are an immovable brick wall, effectively.
25 stone lump. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. So
well,
anyway.
Fantastic stuff. So if I was going to draw a tattoo on you, it would be a ladder and a Magna Doodle. No, it would be a Magna Doodle. I'd get a Magna Doodle, but put a little needle through it and give you a little tattoo.
Magna Doodle on the back and a ladder on your arm means that you've locked yourself out of the house with a Magna Doodle. It's a very specific tattoo, that one. And only a few select tattoo artists can do that one.
Well, if anyone can beat that, hello at Luke from lukeandpeachshow.com.
Let us know where you're from and what batteries you've got in your remote.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're also in the process now of building up a bit of a network of experts. I was looking through old emails and other bits and pieces. We've got, like, for example, we've got Ben Goldman, who's been in touch a few times. I think I might read an email out of his next week.
Okay.
He appears to be something of an egg expert, or an expert, I suppose. Annie, do you remember Cheesy Annie? She
oh,
wanted
yeah,
to be called that.
Yeah, the cheese expert.
Annie the cheese expert, yeah.
To be honest, if she's going to be a cheese sommelier, which is how she described it, she'd get used to being called Cheese Annie, I'm afraid.
Cheesy Annie or Cheese Annie,
Cheese Annie is better than Cheesy Annie.
And we've also got, let me find, she doesn't want to be called Cheesy Annie.
No.
Let me find it, but we've also got Alex, Rotisserie Alex, we named the show after, who was at the, who works at Whole Foods. She's an expert in, I don't know, rotisserie, I don't know, Whole Foods, whatever.
rotating meat, basic meat.
Yeah, what I'm saying is we're building up a bit of a community, and I quite like that.
I mean, it's mainly food-based, isn't it? But we'll
oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
If we've got any burglars listening...
yeah.
I'd like to actually hear from anyone who's actually legitimately burgled a house.
I don't know why you go off piece like this.
Why?
We can't encourage crime.
Literally nothing stopping us.
I'll burgle my own house.
Exactly. I remember in my student house, there used to be one room that was accessible if you jumped on the shed and usually they'd have their window slightly ajar and you'd open it up and just, it was a lad called Paul who would always lock his door. And so if you wanted to play on his computer, you just climb up there and jump in and just, you know.
And did he have any idea you were doing that?
I think he had some pretty good ideas because another housemate of mine, which I hope nobody's listening to this, may have had sex in his bed for a bit of a thrill, a bit of a drunken thrill.
Was it? How did he find it?
I don't think he knew.
Sorry, how did you find it?
How did I?
Can I, to take this...
It's not important what I enjoy.
To take this down a more somber boulevard.
Right.
I've actually had my house burgled while I was in it.
Oh, that's horrible.
Bad.
So
bad.
What did they take? All your Bexels.
They took... No.
Every last Bexel.
They took quite a few CDs, DVDs, a piece of art.
A piece of art?
Yeah, off the wall. And basically, we were asleep in the bedroom, and I left it. It was me, my fault. I left the window open in the living room.
Right.
We're on the first floor, though, mind.
Yeah.
And they shimmied in, unfilled a sleeping bag that was in the living room because I think we had people to stay in there the night before or something.
Right.
Filled that sleeping bag full of CDs, DVDs, and stuff. This is about 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And my ex girlfriend at the time heard them and disturbed them. They legged it back out the window down the side of the house. Dropped a load of stuff, so I was able to collect it back up. But having the house burger while you're asleep in it.
It's horrible, isn't it? I remember my, we used to go on holiday to Butlins. I might have mentioned this on the show before, but we used to go on holiday to Butlins.
Which one?
Filey. It might have been an off-brand one, maybe a Haven or something. Mm. I remember the tiger mascot might have been a Haven holiday. It could be a Pontins even.
Pontins was the crocodile, wasn't it?
Right, yeah, that's okay. Right, yeah, yeah. And we used to go every now and again, and somebody had burgled the shed, or tried to burgle a shed.
Right.
And my mum spotted, because she's a very light sleeper, and she's just worried about everything all the time. She noticed that somebody was trying to get in the shed at like 3 a.m, and so my dad went, "Don't worry, guys, you go off on holiday, and I will fit a burglar alarm and watch out for burglars." My dad clearly not wanting to go on a caravan holiday.
Good on
with
him
us,
for exploiting the angle.
I know, massively.
Yeah.
And so he would have spent the whole week just smoking and drinking and just, you know, being a right rotten sod.
Something you're going to employ when you have a family of your own?
Well, I probably won't do the smoking, but I'll certainly do the drinking. I can't imagine how lovely it must be to be a father of two and have the house just completely so decimated with noise and craziness.
Especially with you, because you were a very difficult child.
Well, no, I wasn't. I was lovely. To be honest, it's kind of why my dad goes to bed at about... He's sort of modified his sleeping pattern so that he goes to sleep about 6 or 7 at night and wakes up at 1 a.m. and just has the house to himself. He loves it.
To me,
so
that
he never sees his wife, his life partner.
But the thing is...
Depressing.
Getting up, going to bed... So in the summer, going to bed when it's light and waking up when it's dark...
Mm.
It's just odd. My body would never get used to that. But going back to the smoker thing, you could never smoke because you've got asthma, right?
No, it's completely unrelated. It always irks
why
me.
Why are you
when
so annoyed?
Because for the same reasons why people thought I could never play Quasar Laser because of the dry ice. Completely unrelated.
Quasar Laser. Talking of off-brand Laser Quest.
My dad's got worse asthma than me. He smoked for like 30 years, something like that.
Okay, he doesn't smoke
and then,
now.
And then took snuff. I remember my dad, when I was about 14, I had the sniffles and my dad came back from the pub drunk and he gave me some snuff to sort me nose out. I'm like, "Dad, that's literally cigarettes. That's
not what you need."
No.
Do you know, when I've been visiting my wife's friends out in the US, and some of them live in a more rural part of Connecticut, and I've been there when a couple of them have been chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
And they put it in their lip and spitting. Very odd.
It's just that is a fast track to gum disease, isn't it, really?
If you chew tobacco, get in touch at hello@lukeandpetra.com.
Well, again, that's quite hipstery, isn't it? The old
is it? I've never seen that.
Sailor tattoos and, not chewing tobacco, but those little snoo tea bags that Swedish people put under their... between their lip.
I have never
gum.
Been in the most fashionable parts of East London.
Look in the urinal. You will see these little tiny wee tea bags of chewing tobacco.
Maybe I just didn't know
tobacco,
what
like kind of sucking tobacco. I don't know what you really call it.
Maybe I just didn't know what they were.
Little wee tea bags. Little wee tea bags. Have you ever been in a bar when in the urinal they've just thrown ice instead of that?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Why does that happen?
I don't know. Does it get rid of the smell? But it's just a waste of ice and kind of the technology that allows people to freeze water. It's just a waste of ice, really.
It's probably a cheaper alternative to a urinal lozenge.
I for about a year, whenever me and my friend would go to the toilet in a bar or nightclub, I would pick up the little urinal cakes and throw them at my friend.
Pete.
Because it's funny. Because they don't expect you to do it and it's funny and you can wash your hands afterwards.
It's not appropriate behaviour in a discotheque.
No, but it's funny because they don't expect you to do it. They think it's disgusting. Because you think it's disgusting. It is disgusting. It is empirically disgusting.
Yeah.
But they never expect you to do it. Just throw it at their back. This horrible vaginal... Vaginal? Sorry, urinal.
I don't think I should have to hear that when I'm on my own in the room with you.
Vaginal cake.
No, not that. Just the behaviour.
Do you remember in American Psycho, the book, when he puts chocolate on it, and I remember the bloke was going, it's just so minty.
Pete.
It's just so minty, Luke. Just Pete, let it happen.
And the other thing, the reason I don't like it is because the listeners will know as well as I do that this sort of little occasional tip that you throw in there is the tip of the iceberg about your behaviour.
It's the tip of the urinalberg.
Yeah. Right, shall we do some emails?
Let's do some emails. Shall we take a short sojourn first? Let's have a bit of this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was. But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs. Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
We'll both look after Luke. And we're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. Luke Moore is joined.
Why don't I get to say I'm Luke Moore?
Because
let's get a situation going where you say I'm Pete Donaldson and I say and I'm Luke Moore.
All right. I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Good on you.
There you go. Didn't
you do well?
Thanks very much. I'll get used to it. You said to me before we came on that you wanted to do an email section solely, exclusively about sleepwalking this week.
Well, we had a good few emails about sleepwalking, so I thought it'd be quite nice to kind of have a little sleepwalking special.
Somnambulism special.
Somnambulism special, indeed. Do you want to kick us off with a little bit of sleepwalkery?
Yeah, so just so I know, because our admin is absolutely dreadful, I've got an email here from Luke from Frisco, Colorado.
Okay.
I've got one from Evan Armstrong, and I've got another one from...
Israel.
So, are they the three we're going to do?
Let's do those then.
Okay, which one do you want first?
Let's have Israel's because it's a humdinger.
I'll do Israel's first. Israel from Chicago. Hello, Israel. You haven't put your battery brown, but that's okay. We'll have an amnesty on that for now. Maybe moratorium next week.
Maybe that's his second name, Putnam's. Yeah, I'd put some Putnam's in my remote.
Israel Putnam. He's got his own brand of batteries, set of Putnam's in his remote.
Yeah. Pump it up with Putnam's.
Do they have LG electronics in the US? Are they worldwide?
That's pretty ubiquitous, yeah. You can't really launch a universal brand, an international brand without bothering the North Americas.
My friend Dan, who a very good friend of mine, spends a lot of his time in the Far East with work, and he said to me that GP Ultras, do you remember those?
What, the batteries?
Yeah, he's a listener to the show as well, and he was talking about GP Ultras. And if I just find his message, he was saying to me that GP Ultra are actually quite a big company, and he said that they own. This was episode 21 we were talking about, wasn't it? He said they own another sort of variation of their brand called GP Acoustics.
Right, okay.
And they bought Kef speakers, and Kef speakers are some of the best speakers around.
Ah.
And you can buy GP Ultra batteries separately, and you used to be able to buy them in Richer Sounds, apparently. So they're apparently there are loads of factories of them in China.
Okay. What I would say is that a lot of...
we can't get away from batteries. We try and we try and we always... They get drawn back in.
What I like about... I think you'll find that a lot of brands, big brands, get rebranded when they go into like a new territory. So like Nintendo, you can buy a Nintendo DS in China, bearing in mind that I think the Chinese government have only just started allowing official console releases in China not that long ago. But Nintendo is very much like, it's called IQ in there.
Right.
IQUE. Right. So you don't buy a Nintendo DS, you buy an IQ DS, I believe.
And didn't the Nintendo console in Japan used to be called a Famicom?
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. So over there it was Super Famicom rather than Super Nintendo.
That's right. Okay.
Or SNES. People get very upset about... I think that there's a definite disconnect between North America and England / Britain. We call it SNES, and the US only ever call it the Super NES. What a waste of time.
Yeah. I love it. That's my favourite console of all time. And you embarrassed yourself a couple of weeks ago by calling Overwatch a twin-stick shooter.
Yeah, I didn't realise. Good point. I didn't realise that twin-stick shooters are like those kind of little 2D shoot-em-ups, you know, from back in the day, like R-Type and stuff like that. But, you know, you can rotate. I presumed, because you use the twin sticks and you shoot, I think that's is a great description for a 3D shooter. Turns out not.
Anyway, Israel is waiting on tenterhooks. Think of him on this train into work in Chicago.
On his little Putnams.
They're going to read my email, and we haven't read it. So here we go.
I hope the email gets read out before my Putnams run out.
Yeah. Israel says, sorry, I'm just moving my chair because I want a bit of a break in the carpet and it feels a bit uncomfortable. Sorry about that. Israel says, hello, fellas. Regarding your chat last week, might have been the week before by now, it'd be helpful if people email in put the episode number because we have no memory of any of them. Regarding your chat last week about peeing in drawers and such, I've got a story. When we were growing up in the 80s, my parents were always into herbs and non-traditional medicines. Now, Israel, of course, would call them herbs.
Herbs, herbs.
Things like making us all take daily spoonfuls of raw bee pollen and such like that. One item they were fond of was sassafras tea. I believe it's pronounced sassafras tea. Supposedly, it had great health benefits. One day, they were driving along with my older brother and sister through the countryside where we lived and spotted some natural sassafras growing on along the road. Now, for people listening to this, Israel at this point has put sassafras in inverted commas. So there might be something awry here.
I wonder what sassafras is, though.
It's actually banned in the US now. Oh, is it? Sassafras oil is banned in the US because apparently it's got carcinogenic potential. So anyway.
That's in everything. Toast as...
Feeling their kinship with our hunter-gatherer ancestors, they pulled over and harvested the bounty. And when they returned home, they made some tea out of it and drank it. Later that night, my parents heard a commotion upstairs and went to investigate. Much to their surprise, they found my sister, who was about 7 years old, trying to stand on her doorknob to reach a phantom purse that was supposedly perched on top of the door. And my brother, who was about 10, had wandered into the bathroom, opened the laundry chute, and was urinating through down to the floor below.
Two words for you, Luke. Added value.
Yeah.
Sounds like this sassafras has got something in it.
Needless, it's like some sort of like deranged Home Alone. Needless to say, this was a story that we loved to need in my parents. Within later years, wondering how they could have been so thick as to grab a random plant from the side of the road and mash it up and give it to their children. I was only a little baby at the time, so I didn't have to suffer the hallucinations, but there were plenty other opportunities for weird remedies and medicinals in my future, including ear candles, poison ivy scraping, and other things that I won't go into here. Love the show. Keep up the good work, Israel.
I mean, two things. Do Chicago people actually use the word herb, or would they say herb?
No, herb. Everyone in the US says herb.
Really?
My wife even says it now.
Herb?
Yeah. I think the best guess I've got on that, and I've done no research at all, but my best guess thinking about it now is that because herb is, I think, a much more prevalent man's name in the US,
yes,
they must have gone with herb to change it.
Oh, to distinguish it.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the KFC Twitter page follows only 7 people?
And they're all herbs?
They're all herbs and Spice Girls.
That is, really, is that true?
Yeah, but the thing is, the person who noticed it, the KFC, he made a big deal out of it on, I think, Reddit and stuff, and it got upvoted and everyone found out about it. It was like, oh, what an amazing thing. And then it was discovered by Reddit, which may or may not be true, that this bloke worked for a PR firm that may or may not have been involved with the corporation. Let's sort of say. So they have to spoil everything, don't they? Or Reddit have to presume that they're spoiling everything, which in turn spoils everything. Yeah.
And you and I are fortunately, well, maybe unfortunately, I suppose,
big KFC fan.
Old enough to remember when the internet was actually fucking cool.
Yeah, it used to be the Wild West, and now it's just safe and people just putting inspirational messages over pictures of the seaside and stuff. Ugh.
Shall I Google inspirational messages?
Type in inspirational
quotes into Google, and I'll tell you the first three that come up, all right?
Right.
First one. Dreams and dedication are a powerful combination.
D&D. Dungeons and Dragons too.
Don't worry about failures. Worry about the chances you miss when you don't even try.
That's a bit Wayne Gretzky.
I think you should listen to that one. And the third one, change your thoughts and you change the world.
Change your thoughts and you change the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that the parents of Israel did just that, but they helped.
That's Israel the email, not the country.
Yeah. maybe if Israel did chill out a bit after some saffron or whatever it's called,
change
everyone might calm down a bit.
I've changed my thoughts to feeding my children non-descriptive herbs at the side of the road. To be fair to Israel, it's great they emailed in with that. It's a great story. It could have been a lot worse for the Putnam family. That.
I mean, they could have been facing down a long stretch in Chalky.
Yeah, or in the ground.
Yeah, exactly. After murdering their children.
My friend Mike's middle name is Putnam. How about that?
Paul Putnam was the Curious Orange and the Tizer Head.
Well, I don't know what either of those things are.
Curious Orange was on This Morning with Richard Not Judy.
Liam Herring, I do remember.
He used to scream, and he was also the Tizer Head that used to come on before CD UK on a Saturday morning.
What a great pair of jobs.
Great head actor. But
What's he doing now?
He's usually seen in a pub in Highgate. Actually, at one point he said, you look like Joseph Goebbels to me.
Okay.
Which is not incorrect.
More like a young Stalin, I would say.
Yeah, young Stalin. I'll take it. Because young Stalin was actually quite sexy.
So yeah, I realised that as I was saying it.
Young Lennon, maybe.
I commit to it.
Yeah. Ear candles. Have you ever tried that? They were very in vogue in the late 80s, early 90s.
Well, do you know what? I did have a problem with some earwax about 10 years ago.
He stole my lunch money.
Yeah, he was a local bully, earwax. he used to eat your earwax. It was like Stephen King's It, but not as bad. No, he...
We eat earwax down here.
Yeah, we So I went to the pharmacy and said, look, I've got this problem with earwax. And the pharmacist said, oh, try this Otex.
Yeah.
And the
softener, isn't it?
Well, the science behind Otex, I believe, is that earwax, I think, is ever so slightly acidic.
Right.
And Otex is alkali. So when they meet, the idea is they dissolve.
Don't mention alkali because Rick Edwards will have up his nose.
He will straight away.
Maybe that's what he used of his nose.
Sniffing
Otex. Vortex.
Yeah, he had a 20-a-day Otex habit. But anyway, so I used that. It didn't really work. And when I went to the I eventually went to the doctor to have my ears irrigated after using olive oil to soften it.
Yeah.
And the doctor said to me, don't ever put that Otex in your ear. Otex, whatever you do, it's terrible. I don't know how they get away with saying it.
Right.
That's number one. Point number two, do not go within a country mile of an ear candle. It's absolute pseudoscience rubbish.
Nonsense, isn't it? Yeah, well, was it like suction or something? It burned up all the oxygen, so it sucked out the earwax and stuff like that, but it's just crap, absolute crap. It's like
So I've never used one.
It's like a wicked candle that's kind of...
So if you use one?
Doesn't drip. Yeah, my dad, he was a big fan of the old ear syringe.
Right.
Maybe I could do with it a little bit, because I am very deaf, so maybe I am one of those people who have too much earwax in.
Well, the earwax, when you need to get it irrigated, it will come to a point, where it does for me anyway, where you'll start to have a bit of a sore throat and things will feel a bit swollen.
Oh, maybe not.
And you need to soften it with olive oil.
Right.
You might as well try putting some olive oil in your ear and see what happens.
My doctor always said...
Should we do that for a live show special? Dollars some of the olive oil.
Don't put anything in your ear bigger than your elbow.
Smaller than
your elbow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, makes more sense. Do you want to do another sleepwalking email?
All right, then.
Are you going to do one?
You've done a bit of work.
Do you want Evan Armstrong or do you want someone else?
Let's get Luke from Frisco.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Because I just love Frisco, Colorado. Frisco!
So I thought Frisco was short for San Francisco.
I reckon it is, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
Who's Cisco?
He was
that blocking that band, wasn't he, before he did the thong song?
Thong song.
What band was he in?
No, do you want me to check?
Not Bon Thugs and Harmony. What was he in? He was in, like, I remember they reformed and he said, goodnight, we are Cisco, instead of saying the name of the band.
Did he really? He was in a band called Drew Hill, apparently.
Drew Hill, that's it.
Thong Song is a classic, by the way.
Yeah. Hasn't he done Thong Song 2017 or something? I think he released it this year.
If you go and see Cisco live, I imagine he does it about three times.
Luke, Drew Hill were good, though. I think one of them had a stick. He was a really fat guy who had a stick, or am I thinking of another band?
I can't picture Drew Hill.
Yeah.
Let me Google image him now.
Google image Drew Hill, and one of them is... one of them's got a stick.
It's a big fat guy.
He's a big fat guy, and he's got a stick. For obvious reasons.
One of them looks like a cross between Puff Daddy and Ice-T.
Right.
One of them is so obviously Cisco, and the other one's got a skull painted into his hair.
The scene is so typically Cisco.
A bit like that dart player, Peter Snakebite Wright.
He did a big poppy thing, didn't he, this week?
Who, Peter Wright?
Yeah, I think. Is he the guy who has, like, coloured hair? And
Okay. Anyway, carry on. Luke from Frisco.
Luke from Frisco, Colorado. Hello, gents. In my career as a habitual sleepwalker, I have done the following whilst very much asleep. I've turned on the shower and soaped up completely.
Oh, that is much... That's a very sexy start.
That's nice, isn't it?
While listening to Cisco.
Yeah, lovely old job. I've parked my bicycle in my bedroom. Like,
wow.
Incredible. Yeah. Are you the sort of... have you ever had a kind of loft conversion where you've had your bike next to your bed? I don't like that kind of thing.
Well, I was just trying to think that actually carrying a bike up to a bedroom when you're awake is quite hard.
Yeah.
So God knows how he's done that, unless it's a Brompton.
They're still quite heavy, aren't they?
Brompton's USP is of making them easy to carry.
Exactly.
So.
Muttered, "I'm sorry, Luke Moore," over and over, much to the chagrin of an extremely bemused girlfriend, because he's been listening to our other podcast, The Football Ramble, for 8 years.
Okay. I don't know what to say.
I'm sorry, Luke Moore.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard "I'm sorry, I'm Luke Moore" before from Luke Moore.
Look, we're all sorry, mate.
However, none of these come close to my sleepwalking adventure, or rather the sleepwalking adventure I had one night almost 10 years ago to the day. My pal, Carl, he's put that in inverted commas, I don't know whether that's a nom de plume or what, has invited me and a couple of friends to his house to play ping pong and drink warm beer in only the way that young US-American teenagers can. Carl's parents were very much home and very much okay with the underage drinking as long as it happened under their roof. After a good few hours of silly drinking, during which some of us rubbed some exposed fiberglass insulation onto our testicles, just to give you a bit of insight into the evening.
Hang on. I have a few questions.
I'd never sleep after that.
Rubbing exposed fiberglass insulation on their testicles.
Yeah, you know that stuff you put...
Yeah, I know what it's like. The stuff you avoid like the plague when you go up into the loft.
I know, like extreme wrestlers like throw it at each other and go, "Oh, that must have hurt."
Maybe that's a thing in America.
Maybe it is. Yeah, anyway, that's how the night went. The four of us then headed upstairs and collapsed into one bed. Wow. Here is where I have to divide fact from what I remember. Fact, at some point in the night, I woke up to use the bathroom. It being my first evening at Carl's house, I was not well acquainted with the geography of the house. So when I was done, I returned to the bedroom with a bed that had people in it. The people were not Carl and our friends, but rather Carl's mum and dad. Now, given that Carl and I were of fairly similar height and weight, and that it was sometime between the hours of 2 and 6 a.m., I completely understand why Carl's mum and dad took 15 minutes to realise that the boy curled up to them next to them was in fact not their son.
Well, listen, if you count...
I feel better about my little story from a couple of weeks ago.
When you chuck that in at 15 minutes, people just sort of gloss over that. Take the time to think about how long 15 minutes is. It's quite a long time.
Listening to this show
yeah.
is long enough. They shooed me out of there like a misbehaving cat and I stumbled back to the correct bedroom. I remember waking up at around 6 a.m. to slink off to a morning church service. I had a vague memory of Carl's mum saying, "No, this isn't right. Go back to your bed." I've seen porn like this. at some point. In fact, nowadays, most porn is incest milk porn.
Stop it.
All right.
I just think it's wrong.
I just think it's wrong. Why? What is wrong with the youth of today that they're obsessed with having sex with members of their family?
I'll tell you what's wrong about this. You keep going off piece with this mad stuff. We haven't planned this. Stick to the email.
We haven't planned any of it, have we? No. At some point in the night, no, this isn't right. I thought it must have been a bizarre dream, so I dismissed it and went off to church. What a weird, like, you know, start to your church service. A few hours later, while walking out, I saw that I had a voicemail from Carl, so I listened. What followed was a 2 full minutes of shrieking laughter, intermingled with shouted phrases from Carl, such as, "You crawled in their bed, and they thought you were, ha ha ha, me." The next time I saw Carl's parents in public, I gave a bumbling, mortified apology. The question remains, I do remember Carl's mum telling me to leave. Does this mean this was merely a case of drunken navigational error, or was I sleepwalking? I think a bit of both. I think that's fair do, isn't it?
Well, you know what? That final sentence, I mean, the rest of that is entirely horrific, mostly down to you, Dalton. But the final sentence there is a really interesting area, I think, because... I'm sure you have, and I know I definitely have. You're in a situation where if you sleep quite deeply and you have quite a sort of intense dream.
Yeah.
When you wake up and you go about your normal day, so you go and get in the shower, you go and get some breakfast, you go do stuff. Sometimes it's very hard to understand that what you've dreamt about hasn't happened, and it takes ages to wear off, doesn't it? It's almost like an anaesthetic taking a while to wear off fully. So I think it's not.
I'm constantly with ladies that I have known, always getting shouted at after they wake up.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to dream about you.
Possibly something different.
Yeah, and combined with things I've done as well.
Yeah, you can't get out of it that easily.
No.
But I do. But what I'm trying to get at is, I suppose, that it's not a binary thing. It's not sleep or awake. There are several stages in between, I would argue.
I'm sleep podcasting right now.
Yeah, we both are. We have been for years.
Shall we have one more email and then we'll chip off?
Yeah, one more from Evan about sleepwalking, because Evan is a... I think he's studying this, something about this at University of San Diego. So we'll hear more now. Evan says, hello, Luke and Pete from San Diego. Hello, Evan. He says, I would like to first off state my appreciation for the many hours of listening I've enjoyed across your multiple podcasting platforms.
Wow, the MPP, as you can see.
What a start to the email. He said, the Luke and Pete show has got me through a rough summer internship researching cases for my first taste of what it is like to be a lawyer. So I figured I would give something back that I learned in my criminal law class last year.
What I like about lawyering and soliciting and stuff like that is that the sexiness of being a lawyer and the sexiness of being a man or woman of the law, of the courtroom, is really sexy. But the actual reality of training and the actual reality of doing what you do can be the most arduous thing.
And I think I'm right in saying it's different between the US and the UK. In the UK, you could prepare the case and then you brief a barrister.
Right.
I think in the US, they do it all.
Yeah.
And in the US, I don't think you specialise on a different area of the law either.
Okay.
But in the UK, you do.
Ah.
I think that's right anyway. Maybe.
I think I'd probably prefer the US system to see everything through to the end and to have a bit of variety.
Because I guess if you prepare a case and then you put it in the line of the barrister and the barrister has a bad day, it's a nightmare. But anyway, Evan perhaps will be able to tell us more about that. He goes on to say, last year we had a discussion on what is known as somnambulistic homicide. And this is what you had described last week. I think that was in episode 22 about the French detective who... you all heard it, I suppose. The good news for everyone is that I need not get into a discussion on whether this is a form of homicide or manslaughter or murder, because the answer is that it is neither or none of those things. We read a case known as Cogdon's case, which I believe is a common case for all first-year law students to read in both the US and in England, because American justice is closely modelled and often resorted to the precedent of the English courts. The case occurred in England in 1951, and the facts are thus. The lady, Cogdon, was prone to having sleep fits, in quotes, and went so far as to see a doctor about them. The most severe of the sleep fits before she saw the doctor involved her walking into her daughter's room and brushing spiders off of her that she believed were attacking her.
Crack. Definitely crack.
Well, yeah,
crack spiders. They're famous.
Were crack around in 1951? Probably called something else, wasn't it?
Cocaine's been around for a long time.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Yeah. One night after she saw the doctor, there was a discussion about the Korean War. And before she went to bed, her daughter called out to her, "Mum, don't be silly. The war isn't on our front doorstep yet." Mrs. Cogdon went to sleep and dreamt the war was, in fact, all around her. She dreamt that soldiers were all around the house. And one in particular was her daughter's room attacking her. The same daughter from the spider incident. Mrs. Cogdon doesn't remember anything else from the dream. And the next thing she remembers is waking up at her sister's house next door, thinking she'd hurt her daughter. What had actually happened was Mrs. Cogdon left her bed, fetched an axe from the wood heap, took it into her daughter's room and struck two blows to her, killing her. Mrs. Cogdon was found not guilty, though, by the Crown, who accepted that she was not insane, but rather that her actions were completely involuntary because she had no control over the actions she had in her sleep.
That is the most horrific story
so far.
Depressing,
on the show.
Depressing, horrific, it has everything.
She said, the common law, the basis of English jurisprudence and some American jurisdictions, and the model penal code, the basis for the majority of American jurisdictions, are in accord with this result. They say that because someone is asleep, they are incapable of realising the results of their actions. Anyway, cheers for the hours of entertainment and keep up the good work.
That's so sad.
He said, I mean, Evan does add a little addendum to this and says, I personally said when I heard this, I thought it was ridiculous that someone could think that soldiers were outside and around the house and that she could still walk all the way to the wood heap to grab the axe. So, holes in the story, perhaps, but we are not justice experts, and Mrs. Cogden, I presume, is sadly passed on herself because it happened in 1951, so who knows?
I like that Evan, well, not necessarily, but I think I like that Evan kind of is going, nah, bullshit.
Yeah, I'm not having it.
Just another example of the baby boomers ruining the world. Right.
That culminates, there are many of those. That culminates in the end of our sleepwalking email special,
I think so. It's been lovely. It really has.
It's been sleepy.
One of my favourite video games on the Amiga was Sleepwalker.
That was fantastic. I used to play
that. Great little game.
Where you played the cuddly toy. You had to stop the kid waking up.
I think it was a Comic Relief tie-in, possibly with Quavers.
It
was the second Quavers game, the first being Pushover.
Listen, here's what I remember about it, and this is your area, so you can correct me. Mm. The game starts with a kid getting out of bed asleep, getting into all sorts of mischief, and you, his best pal or his cuddly toy, have to do certain stuff to stop him waking up. And if he wakes up, you lose.
I think whatever the mascot was, or whatever the cuddly toy was voiced by Lenny Henry in the Comic Relief cartoons. I might be massively wrong on that one, but it was very much like Lemmings, where creatures would just move from left to right, or...
And you had to
right to left, and you had to manipulate them into getting home or staying safe.
So I used to love Lemmings, but I had I had a BBC Micro.
Right. You wouldn't have got it on that, would you?
No, and then I had a PC, one of the very first home PCs, like a 386 or something like that. And I used to love Lemmings, but my friend had Sleepwalker, I think, on the Atari ST.
Yeah.
Would that sound right?
Atari ST or Amiga, yeah.
Yeah, so I played it around his house, I remember it well.
Beautiful.
Very good. Very fun times, Pete.
Great. Lemmings were great. I used to be obsessed with Lemmings. I made a little T-shirt of my... In the town in Hartlepool, they used to have these letters that you could buy and sort of iron on. And I loved the video game Lemmings so much, I made a I Love Lemmings T-shirt. Reprehensible behaviour.
Was it?
And I used to draw them. I'll draw you one now.
Was that T-shirt on heavy rotation with your global hypercolour T-shirt?
It was on heavy rotation with an official Lemmings 2 T-shirt. They also released a single as well. That's how big it was.
I remember it being massive. Absolutely massive, yeah.
Oh, no. Then they used to explode.
That's right, yeah. There we go.
All right, then. Let's get out of here. hello at lukeandpeteshow.com if you want to say hello. Or just tell us how much you loved Lemmings.
Yeah, but do get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. And also, do leave us a nice review on iTunes and make sure you subscribe and tell all your friends, because that's how these types of show live and die.
Indeed.
So thanks for that, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.